Welcome to the Everyday PM Podcast, the podcast where we discuss project management principles for your everyday life. My name is Ann Campia, and I'm a certified project/program manager with a decade of experience working in healthcare, retail, consumer goods, and tech industries. I'm so excited to welcome two very special guests to our podcast today. Returning to the podcast, we have Greg Christensen, who is the Vice President of ProjectHub.com, who you may have met through previous episodes we've had, coffee chats, as well as we just featured ProjectHub.com on a very recent episode. So Greg, welcome back to the podcast. And we also have joining us Mark Weeple, who is the author of Visual Project Management, who is also an expert in project execution and delivering projects in less time. So I am so excited to dig into your expertise, Mark and Greg. Welcome back to the podcast. For those who have not met either of you yet, Mark, let's go ahead and start with you. Welcome to the podcast. Please take a brief moment to introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, I've been doing project management, working on projects and improving project processes. I created the for about 20 years. I created the Viewpoint Visual Project Management Methodology. And that's the subject of the book that I wrote. And if you wanted to go fast, then you call me. That's kind of the way it works.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I get the feeling. I definitely did some research last night. So I have a few questions for you on how we are able to do that as project managers. But let me throw it over to Greg to reintroduce himself to those who have already met him. But for those who are meeting you for the first time, Greg, please take a brief moment to introduce yourself to the audience.
Thank you, Anne. I appreciate it. My name is Greg Christensen. I am the Vice President of Project Hub. That is a project and task management solution. And I also do some CMMS consulting and a little bit of voice work on the side. And as always, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Anne, and to get another episode in the can.
Absolutely. And Greg, I feel like I should just invest in a second chair that sits right next to me that, you know, you can come and commandeer, because you've been such a regular and frequent presence on the podcast. So I can't express how thankful I am that you are back with us today and bringing along your friend, Mark. I believe you're friends. I hope you're friends, but bringing along your friend and expert Mark to join us in the chat today. So we're going to go ahead and dive in. Greg, you've been learning a lot about project management, and I know that there are various methodologies that you've learned, and even you and I have chatted about briefly as well in our coffee chats, but I know we've dedicated a few episodes to talking about project management basics and things like that, postmortems, et cetera. So you have been taking it all in, because I know that you don't have the project management background, but you are as hungry as anyone I have ever met in terms of wanting to learn more about it. And so with that being said, I know you've invested so much of your time recently in learning about the project management space. And number one, I commend you for that. But number two, you mentioned how much you've learned from Mark, who is our special guest today. And you suggested we bring him onto the show as well to share his expertise with our listeners. So again, very excited to dive in there. We're going to be talking about project execution and process improvement and all of that good stuff. Look, you weren't kidding with Mark's experience. I had to Google him myself and just learn a little bit about our guest before we started chatting. And he's got 4 published books, 15 eBooks, a plethora of wonderful material out there that is just, for somebody as eager to learn about project management as you are, Greg, there's just a lot out there. And I can envision us doing hours of a podcast together. But for today, why don't we focus on what you've been learning from Mark up to this day, Greg? Why don't you share with us what you've learned?
Well, so I want to try to put it succinctly and kind of simply, like high level, but I'm really lucky to have that opportunity to work with Mark for about 60 days now. Now, I knew of him previously and I had done some research, because I know a lot about the concepts that he built, but I didn't necessarily understand them. So when we got to talking and working through things, he pointed me to the right ebook that really helped me solidify my understanding in a general sense, right? I'm not a practitioner like you are, like Mark is, but understanding what project execution maturity is all about. if we look at the project execution maturity model. And in his philosophy, what I've recognized and I've tried to really hold on to because it makes sense is how we can move better, faster, and really on time with a focus on execution rather than a focus on planning. And that's kind of it in a nutshell, but there are a lot of different, there's intricacies and nuance that he could explain way better than I ever could. So just at the surface level, I'm understanding what you need to look at and what you need to focus on to really truly deliver projects at speed without any of the treacherous pitfalls. There's a way to do that. And Mark understands that really endemically, in my opinion.
So I love hearing about this collaboration. You two have the synergy that you have, you know, somebody like Greg, who wants to learn more, you found this methodology that you're essentially attracted to. Mark, can you briefly explain your philosophy and that methodology that Greg is talking about to our audience?
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, my background is scheduling and manufacturing. And I came to project management a little bit late in life, but I was always the guy that got the call when something was in trouble. You know, hey, my project, my plant is always late. I can't deliver on time. Everything is just crazy. You know, help me pull this thing out of the ditch. And I work a lot in the oil industry, and they're very, very date driven. And I learned about this methodology called critical chain project management, and taught that for a long time. And that's a very planning centric approach. And as I and I'd also been involved in lean manufacturing and that sort of thing. And we had a project with BP and WorleyParsons after the Gulf oil spill, where they had, you know, they had BP essentially had to redo all of their engineering for all their offshore maintenance stuff, right? So they're all, you know, we don't want another explosion. Let's look at everything we're doing. And, and it created this wave of work on the engineering side. And so, well, Mark, you know, you and your team did a great job on the spill cleanup. Why don't you help us with this? And we'll give you a 6-month contract. And I got in there, and there's about 450 engineers and spread across multiple floors, different campuses across town. And they've got 450 projects. And, you know, it was complete chaos. And I was looking at that and I'm going, well, we can't do what we did before. Why don't we take something that we did in manufacturing and do this? And so we took this visual approach that we've been using in manufacturing and applied it to the engineering projects. And the results were astounding. I mean, just unbelievable performance improvement in terms of throughput and delivery and productivity, and people were happy. You know, the temperature really cooled down. You know, the engineers weren't fighting anymore. They could come in, they could say, okay, here's where we go. And it worked really well. And I was, of course, I was really happy. My client was happy, but I didn't, what I wanted to know was why did that work? What did we do that made it? And that led me on a journey to identify the elements for successful project execution that were repeatable, and we could test and repeat. And that led to the execution maturity model. And the execution maturity model basically has three levels. And the idea of the execution maturity model is it's a process that you can lead your team through from, you know, utter chaos ad hoc to systematically optimizing your project process. And it starts with basic collaboration. Basic collaboration means, how do we get people to talk to each other in a constructive way? And by constructive, I mean, how can we get people to talk together that moves the project forward, right? So it's not, you know, people think about collaboration about throwing ideas out, but it's a very structured process to say, you know, these are the things we do, these are the things we talk about, these are the things that we measure, and these are the things that happen to keep the project on time. And once we complete kind of this basic collaboration, then we move into the next level, which is improved coordination, where we are dealing with remote teams, where we're doing more sophisticated management, we're doing more promising, we're doing using more probabilistic kinds of things. And then we move into a third level, which is more geared towards optimization and automation, where we can say, and closing the loop, essentially closing the loop between planning and execution, and using probabilistic tools, you know, things like Monte Carlo simulation and that sort of thing. But we don't start there, right? So the execution maturity model is 12 elements that take you through the basics of, you know, what do we have to do to, how can I optimize my process to make it go faster and faster and faster and faster?
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think I would say that just in that scenario and everything, all your experiences collectively, I can see how Greg has learned so much in such a short, what is really a short period of time. And Greg, for you, you know, how much of what Mark just explained to us and kind of illustrated to our audience this, the situations he's been in and how he's dealt with it, how much of that has shaped your views?
Well, it's pretty incredible for me because once I had my aha moment with really understanding how this works, I use terms like where the rubber meets the road. I think what happened for me was understanding that model, the three tiers or levels, like Mark was just explaining, and then getting exposed to those 12 principles or elements within the project execution maturity model. For some strange reason, maybe it's serendipity, but I started to see it everywhere. And I think you mentioned earlier in this episode, and where you could tell that I'm really on that chase and trying to really get that information in, because I'm liking it and I'm understanding it. And I think a lot of that came from Mark and how he has presented it. I have read a lot of his materials, a pretty incredible amount, and it's not all in there, but the process in general and why that leads to process improvement and optimization is making a lot of sense to me, which really empowers me to keep going on that journey. So thanks to Mark's journey and my journey converging, there was just all that click, that fit, that kind of general understanding that allows you to have the confidence to keep working with that information. Hopefully that makes sense for everybody. I tend to ramble. Sorry.
No. I think that everyone has that aha moment, right? If somebody who in your journey, whether it's learning about project management or some other topic, there's somebody like Mark Weeple has been for you, Greg. There's somebody that has done that for people. And I think when you talk about that click moment, I'm glad that you're able to visualize and actually see what Mark has been teaching you and seeing it now across some of the projects that you've had to deal with, which is, I think that's such a great moment. It's such a wonderful time for somebody who really is interested and passionate about learning about something when that starts to happen and that starts to come to fruition. And so, Greg, how have you taken this methodology and that thinking process, and how has that evolved since, like, that aha moment?
I think what I'm starting to look for and understand, it's really interesting. This might be coming from left field, but this is actually a great way to avoid being stuck or staying stuck. If everything is a project, mm-hmm, and we learn how, and Mark could speak to this, we learn how to check, change, and improve our behaviors, then we can, in fact, stay on a path of progress. And it starts to get really lofty at that point. And I'm really serious. It's everywhere. If I'm stuck on anything, I can just stop for a moment and say, is being stuck on this going to help me move forward? The answer is no. And what should I do with it? How can I move forward? One of the things Mark taught me in some of the different materials and some of the discussions we've had is, and you and I talked about this as well, Anne, when we're working on projects and we're trying to deliver projects, that's exactly what we're trying to do. There are a lot of things that can come up that are not that. In other words, we get into a meeting. Mark likes the philosophy of the stand-up meeting because it eliminates all the other meetings and it keeps people moving, and you don't have enough time to stop and say, oh, well, Anne did this and that. Mark did this and that. None of that has any possible benefit. So when you're talking about execution excellence, it's about the pursuit of improving your process, which means you have to learn how to ignore things, not recklessly, but practically. Mm-hmm. And that's,
can I speak to that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the idea of visual project management and the stand-up meetings, it's not an old idea. It's, you know, been around forever and ever. It's just people that don't use it enough in project management, right? So, you know, a lot of people will misuse their meetings, right? They'll have a project meeting, and what they'll do in the meeting is tell you about the problem that they have, or tell you about where they are, you know, what's the progress, or, you know, what did I accomplish, and that sort of thing. And really, for solid execution, you have to change that conversation from what have I done and what is the problem to what is the problem, who owns it, and what is the action associated with that, right? So you're always looking there, you're always changing the team from the rear view to a forward look, always, right? So, and if you look at the different levels in the execution maturity model and different levels of management, how far in the future you talk about is going to be different. So for somebody who's writing code or, you know, doing a design or something, you know, that future may only be a few days. But if I'm a department head, you know, that future is going to be a month, 2 months. And if I'm a business unit manager, well, it's going to be 6 months, right? So, you know, the idea of the constructive collaboration, I call it collaborative execution. The collaborative execution piece is really about talking about who's got the ball, what is the play we're going to run, and that's it. If there's a problem and you need to do analysis, okay, you take that offline, because this meeting is about assigning action, not reporting progress. You know, and you can report progress at any time. You don't need a meeting for that. You know, you can solve a problem. You don't need, you know, usually when we're solving a problem, I don't need 13 people, I need two. And so one of the things that I teach people about project execution is to make your project meetings about the future, never about the past, unless you're having unless you're doing a deep dive on, you know, an analysis on a project that you just completed. Sort of like, I liken it to, football, I like the NFL. You know, those guys in the huddle, they're not going, oh man, you were out of position and you dropped the ball and oh, you missed it. That's not what they're talking about. They're saying, here's the play we're going to run. Don't forget about that guy over there. Let's go, you know, and very little time. So, you know, of course my team, you know, we call them huddles, right? A lot of people call them huddles because it's just play call, right? And that's the project manager is the play caller. You know, typically a project manager doesn't own anything, you know, except the project. And so his job is to call the play. You're absolutely right. If it's concerning the past, that's a different meeting to have, not with the team.
Right. That's,
sorry, you let me get on my soapbox. You invited me.
No, I mean, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. There's a definite sports analogy there in that process and that thinking, right? And as soon as you said that, there was my tiny aha moment of, this is a lot like football. And it is, right? Like they can only watch so much tape on the other team and know enough about the team. But when you enter that game, it's a whole new playing field. And with every play, to your point, it's just about that play and how do we get forward progress. And essentially, yes, everybody wants to win the game. The team is going to want to win the game. You know, that's in the future. So you're always looking ahead, but you're never looking behind in terms of, oh, well, we screwed that play up, you know, like, let's try that. You're not doing that during the game. So absolutely clicked for me as you're going through that analogy. And I think going back to Greg's earlier point, there's also life philosophies in what you're teaching here, Mark, in terms of how you can, even in your everyday life, check yourself. Am I progressing? Yeah. If I'm not, okay, what do I have to do? What's the action I have to do to keep going, keep moving forward? So go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, no, I think I got in my soapbox and said everything I want to say about that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I know that Greg has mentioned a story about, is it the Gold Rat Institute and the goal?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I told him this story and I also warned him that. I told you that I worked, I started off in manufacturing and my background was scheduling. So I was designing and implementing scheduling systems for manufacturing companies. And in about 1986, we can edit that part out.
That's the year I read the book.
A long time ago, I was working in this plant, and I was the materials manager. I reported to the GM. And he called me in his office. He said, "Hey, Mark, I want you to go down to Brenham, Texas, our sister plant down there. They're doing something with scheduling. I don't know what it is, but they're making a whole lot of money. Go down there, find out what it is, and bring it back." So I flew down to Brenham, Texas, and it turns out that they were working with the Gold Rat Institute. And I knew the guy that he was working with, because I was in charge of the local APICS chapter, and I had them come in to Tulsa and give a presentation, and he gave me a copy of the goal. So I've got the original 1984 version over here on my desk. Anyway, nice. So I said, "Oh, yeah. So I called up my friend Don Labotny at the Gold Rat Institute, and I said, "Hey, you need to do this stuff with our sister plant, what do we want to do?" And so he came to our plant and taught us, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, great." So we just implemented it, the throughput went up 20%. And we wiped out our backlog in the space of about 8 weeks, and my phone stopped ringing. And I left that job, and I went to work with the Gold Rat Institute and Ellie Gold Rat and Don Lavati and a lot of other really smart people, and worked with Ellie until about 92. And of course, we stayed in contact until his death. He wasn't, we're not enemies or anything, but I wasn't involved in his business, and he wasn't involved in mine. But he taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about using cause and effect, and checking your assumptions. And of course, he started this critical chain thing, which has morphed over time. And I've incorporated critical chain into the execution maturity model. But what I found was technical load to do critical chain in some respects is a lot, because you have to change your thinking, and you also have to change your behaviors. And I said, we'll start with the behaviors and make sure you can do the behaviors, and then we'll add in the fancy stuff later. So I don't know, is that the story that I was supposed to tell? I have so many. I can tell the story of meeting Ellie in South Korea one time. He was on the same platform I was. I was like, Ellen, meeting in the green room in Seoul.
I have to tell you, I think that story's great, but it's for me, and I don't know, I don't think you and I got a chance to talk about this, but Mark and I talked about it for a while. I read The Goal when I was very, very young, because somebody sent it home with my mother and said, "I understand your son's interested in business, and he has a mind towards and an interest in consulting. Bring him this book and tell him to keep it." Wow. And I got it. I opened it. I had a note from her coworker, and I read it cover to cover.
Wow.
And it was so impactful. And when I brought it up to Mark, and he said, "Yeah, I know him. Yeah, I've worked with him. Yeah, this. And I was like, wow, what a small world. And now he's telling you about meeting him on a platform in South Korea. I mean, it really is a small world, but it's a brilliant book. And I just like how Mark's able to kind of explain it and make it so relatable because that was why the book was so powerful to me. It's where I learned about a bottleneck. What is a bottleneck? And I hung on to it the moment I learned it for the rest of my life. So it's really good stuff.
And it applies to projects, you know, because there's always a constraint in the project. There's always, you know, but projects are different from manufacturing in that, you know, you're the bottleneck is always moving, right? Because you're shifting resources all the time, right? So you're always having to do that. And I've incorporated that aspect into the visual project management process. It's in the second tier of the project execution maturity model. Because what we want people to do is we want people to go and chase those bottlenecks and break them. You know, I worked with somebody one time, and his philosophy, he told me something. He said, you know, every day or every week when I'm running a project, I want to know, what can I do to go faster? Mm. What can I do to speed this project up? You know, obviously without sacrificing, you know, the other constraints that you have in projects. But his philosophy was, every day I'm going to come to work and I'm going to find out how to go faster. And that was really impactful for me. It's so important that I included it in our consulting practice. And when we're teaching people how to execute projects, that is an element that we purposely teach people how to do that, how to find it, how to chase it, and do it systematically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think what's resonating in this story that kind of being the third party in this duo here is picking up on is there's just so much that you don't realize that you've impacted, Mark. I mean, just listening to Greg's story alone, this is one person who has read something that you've written and is telling you that it's impacted him and impacted him in such a way that it continues to influence the way he sees business today. And I'm only just meeting you, and I know that I could probably extend this podcast for another 24 hours to just pick your brain about every little nugget that you gave us today. But what I think just from the outside looking in, I'm trying to say is that just in what you've already published and put out there for new project managers, mature project managers who are looking to learn something new, this is incredible work that you put out there and you've shared with our community. And I think for that reason, I just want to say thank you in terms of what you've been able to just teach us in the short time that we've chatted on this podcast. And with that, before we get going on another topic, I'm going to have to just click pause here because I think we've left the audience with enough in terms of something to think about in the execution model. I'm hoping that they'll come back with questions, and maybe Mark, we can bring you back on to answer those questions. But is there anything right now that you're working on that you want to share with the project management community? And also, do you have any advice? Because we have an audience who ranges from people who are just starting out, people who have been there for a long time. Any advice that you want to, you know, give to the community as well?
Oh gosh, put me on the spot here.
Well, it's what I do.
First of all, I'm super appreciative and happy to be a contribution. That's kind of what floats my boat. You know, I don't do this for ego. You know, I'm trying to help other people, and that's why I put this work out there. And I thank you for that. So I think the most, what I would say is that for any project manager and any manager of project managers is to consider execution as a process equal to importance as preparing a good plan and getting stakeholder buy-in and building your budget and doing your risk analysis and all those other things. There's not a lot out there for people, for project managers. So I wrote it. But you want to consider this. Execution is a process, and it isn't, let's have a meeting and look at the schedule. That is not the process. So that's, I think that's the main thing that I would want to say is execution is a technique. It's a process that is critical to the success of your project. And you can have a great plan, but you won't, because nobody makes great plans. You can have a great plan, but if you don't know how to drive execution, that great plan isn't going to matter.
My wheels are turning. I don't think you could see it in my face, but my mind is blown by what you've talked about today. And I have so much that I want to think about after we finish this recording, because from somebody who's taken, you know, a master's program in project management, somebody who's read a few books on it, who has colleagues who, you know, they follow certain methodologies and processes, this is one that really flips a lot of the things that you're taught as a project manager. It flips it around. It really does. And it's a great perspective to have, in my opinion, of just learning about this in terms of exactly what you just said, Mark. There's so much you can plan and your project can still go awry. So why not put the emphasis on the part of the process where you're actually doing something and progressing and doing the work to get the project done? I love that idea. I'm looking forward to kind of ending this recording and going onto your website and reading your eBooks and getting all your books to learn more about this. But That's just my level of excitement after having chatted.
Yeah, it's all my stuff is free, except the books. Of course, you have to go to Amazon to get those, but all my white papers and stuff like that, it's all free in the website, projectsinlesstime.com. So I was going to say, control is an illusion.
I like that one. I like that one quite a bit, actually. I might write that down on my wall. All right. Well, that will do it for Mark, Greg, and I in this installment of the Everyday PM podcast. Mark and Greg, you both have been wonderful. The time has flown by. So I really do appreciate your time today to share your stories and your insights with our audience. Mark, let's start with you. I know you shared where your books can be found, but if folks want to continue the conversation with you, is there a way that they can find you online?
Yeah, they can, you know, I'm on Twitter at Mark Weppel, you know, just one word. I'm also, you know, you can reach me on LinkedIn or those are the two social channels that I use professionally. And of course, my website is projectsinlesstime.com, and there's an email link there, so you can click that and it's right here because that's the way I work.
Mark, thank you so much. And Greg, how about yourself? Thank you.
Well, for me, you can find me on LinkedIn, Greg Christensen, and then you'll see the Project Hub logo and you can figure out if it's me. And then the alternative would be to go to projecthub.com and actually sign up to get access to the projecthub.com platform. And then we get that information. I'll typically send a registration link so somebody can get in there. But that's another way to get in touch with me because I kind of see all those things happening. And either way, anybody that needs some help, wants to chat or anything like that, just reach out.
And you all can find me on LinkedIn as well as theeverydaypm.com. Just a quick plug for our podcast and video version of this. Support the Everyday PM podcast by giving us a 5-star review on any of the podcasting platforms you are listening in on. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, you name it, we're probably there. Spotify, all those good things. And you can also find the video version of this on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AnnCanthia. Make sure to leave us a great comment, ask some questions. We'd love to get back to you. Like and subscribe to the channel. And I think that will do it for all of us, all three of us today in this installment of the Everyday PM podcast. Thank you both so much for joining me. And until next time, take care.